Like if you would turn with me to three short passages of scripture. The first in the Epistle to the Galatians in chapter 1. It's on page 1403 in the translation of the Bible I'm reading from. The Epistle to the Galatians in chapter 1. And starting at the end of verse 3. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he should deliver us out of the present evil world, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory to the ages of ages. Amen. And then in the Epistle to Titus in chapter 2, page 1444. Titus chapter 2, end of verse 11. For the grace of God, which carries with it salvation for all men, has appeared, teaching us that having denied impiety and worldly lust, we should live soberly and justly and piously in the present course of things, awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. And finally, in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, in chapter 1, and verse 5. First epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, and verse 5. For our glad tidings were not with you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, even as ye know what we were among you for your sakes, and ye became our imitators, and of the Lord, having accepted the word in much tribulation, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that he became models to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord sounded out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith, which is towards God, has gone abroad, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves concerning us, entering in we had to you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to await his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. It's a good question to ask ourselves, is why does God send out the gospel? Why do we have the preaching? What is the purpose of the preaching? Well, it's a presentation of the heart of God to men. That's true, but I think we find the purpose that we have is spoken of in this first verse I read in Galatians. That there is an end in view in the glad tidings. When God chose the people of Israel, they were in bondage in Egypt. And his great desire was that they would be delivered from Egypt, that they should be brought out of Egypt, that they may be brought into the land, a land of milk and honey, a blessed land, that they might be able to serve him. God has in mind, dear friend, not only to save you from your sins, but to deliver you from this present evil world. I don't think there's anybody here tonight who wouldn't say, what a terrible world it is that we're living in. In one sense, we should hardly be surprised, but I think we all feel in our spirits how things are getting worse and worse, especially for believers. But, you know, we speak to people around and how many of them are distraught at the condition of the world and the way things are going. But, you know, God's great desire isn't that you should be left here. He wants to deliver you out of this present evil world. That doesn't mean literally to take you out of it, although that will happen for us as believers. Before God comes in judgment, he's going to take us literally out of this world. But he wants us to have the power to be delivered from the power of the world. And a wonderful thing is he sent his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. It speaks here that our Lord Jesus, who gave himself, how affecting that is to our hearts. He gave himself. He had nothing else to give. He gave everything that he had. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave. So you see the heart of divine persons, especially the heart of God, of what a giving God he is. And God gives everything that he might bless you. He wants to bless you. And may we receive a blessing in this hall tonight in our souls. Whether we've been on the road a while as Christians, or whether we haven't yet turned in our hearts to God and asked for his forgiveness, may we each receive a blessing and to know that the love of Jesus that gave himself for us. What did that involve for Jesus? That he should give himself for our sins. Oh, this great matter of our sins, which is upon every living being in this world today, the matter of our sins. There is nothing that we can do to atone for our sins. There's nothing that we can pay to remove that debt. Think of sin coming into this world by the one man coming in through Adam, and by sin, death. Thus death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. This terrible matter of death that has come upon humankind as a result of man's disobedience to God. You want to define what sin is. Sin is lawlessness. It's a disregard and disobedience of God's word and his authority. In the Garden of Eden, man was told that he could eat of any tree that he liked except the one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as we know, man was deceived by the devil, by the serpent. And Eve took of that fruit and ate and gave to her husband, and he ate too. And in eating that, their eyes were opened. They realized what they were, as naked before God. And they came under the judgment of God. So God sent out that word in the garden, "Where art thou?" As man hid himself. You know, none of us are proud of our sins, proud of our histories. We would seek to hide ourselves. And Adam and Eve, they sought to hide themselves in that garden. And the word came to them, "Where are you?" And the word would come to us in the preaching afresh tonight. God would say to us, "Where are we in relation to God and to his things? Where are we in relation to our sins?" You know, as one standing here, I can only speak of the wonderful grace that has met me in my sins. The Lord Jesus himself, who has died for my sins. But here Paul is speaking in his writing to these believers, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Yes, we have to realize that it was our sins was why Jesus had to go to the cross. He who knew not sin, he who was without sin was made sin. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. What it must have meant for Jesus, you know, as a holy man, walking in this world, coming across sin and the effects of sin upon the human race. You think of the myriads of who came to him who were sick, but everyone was healed by the word of the Lord. And you know, tonight, God wants to heal you of your sins that bring you into bondage. You know, the effect of sin upon the human race, how terrible it is. That's why the world is in such a dreadful way tonight. You might be taken in, as younger people, we often are taken in by the bright lights, by all the entertainments. But you know, it's all to try and make men not think of their condition before God. And it's all temporary anyway. Speaks of that in Scripture, the temporary pleasures of sin. But you know, there is a point in our histories and our lives where we are all going to have to do with God. Whether you are a believer tonight, or whether you are one who rejects God and his message, you're all going to have to do with God. It's the God with whom we have to do. There's no escape. But God tonight wants to have to do with you in grace. He wants to speak to your heart that you might yield to his love that has been expressed so wonderfully in the person of the Lord Jesus. When he died, he gave himself for our sins. That meant that he had to die. He had to give everything that he had. Philippians 2, which we have thought of already today, with the Lord as the one who emptied himself of all his glory, came from heaven. That's where Jesus came from. God himself came here as a man, manifest in flesh, walking upon this earth and desiring to bring in blessing to men. Think of God appearing as a man on this earth, and then it says he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. The death of the cross was no ordinary death, my friend. Crucifixion, this terrible and wicked death devised by the Romans. No crueler death could there have been, but it had to be that way. Jesus could say, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. He knew he had to go by way of the cross. It is a central theme of the gospel, the cross, my friend. And when Paul is writing to the Galatians here, it is a central theme of what he has to say to them. They were those who'd come to Christ. They'd heard Paul preach the gospel. They'd been converted. But then someone had come in and corrupted the gospel that they'd received. And he says later on, I wonder that ye thus quickly changed from that him that called you in Christ's grace to a different gospel. There is no different gospel. There is one gospel, my friends. And it's of Jesus, of Christ and him crucified. We do not speak of ourselves or preach ourselves. We speak and preach of Jesus, the one who came here, the one who's been into death, and that the death of the cross. The price of your sins, my friend, put Jesus on that cross. The price of my sins meant Jesus had to die. He had to suffer. We could not appear before God in our sins or in our as we are. We can only come before God in the righteousness and worth of Christ, because he was pure and spotless and holy. The Lamb without stain, the Lamb without blemish. He is the one who is offered up to God as a perfect sacrifice. Jesus, knowing what sin meant to God, think of him knowing the distance that came between man and his creature. Think of him hanging on that cross there and the words that he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Think of him taking upon him the sins of all. He's able to forgive all. He took upon him the sins of the world. John could say, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What does that involve? That involves a whole cleansing of the universe from the power and dominion of sin, soon to be seen in a day to come, the world to come of which we speak. Think of that, a scene where sin will be removed from it. As I said at the start, none of us here would halt to say what a terrible world we live in, where men have rejected God and rejected Christ, and yet God waits in grace with arms outstretched to bless, because, my friend, he loves you. He loves you as your soul. He loves you because he created you. And God wants to have you for his pleasure. And so the Lord Jesus went that way. He gave himself for our sins. It's our sins that put him on the cross. And God wants you to come to conviction tonight that you are a sinner before him, that you are one who needs salvation, that you are one who needs to be blessed. And I would urge with everyone here, if they have not already done so, that they take the name of Jesus on their lips, and they repent towards God and have faith in him. Faith in the Lord Jesus, the one who is a sin bearer. So we think of him on that cross. Think of him giving himself. Think of the love that motivated Jesus to give himself for us. Oh, what love it is. You know, there's nothing lovable about us as sinners. As away from God, it says that some might dare to die for the good man. Someone might dare to die. But we being still sinners, Christ gave himself for us. And that should affect each of our hearts. There's nothing lovable about us by nature, but God loves us because we are his creatures, and he gave his son. And the Lord Jesus is coming from God himself. He was subject to his father's will and prepared to give himself for each one of us. And so he gave himself for us that he should deliver us out of the present evil world. Yes, this world is evil and it's going on to judgment. And think of that, the Lord knowing that, he speaks of the world being already judged. The judgment of this world is already, because that has rejected himself and rejected God. But God wants to deliver us out of the course of this world, which is going on to judgment. And what a word that is to my heart, to realize that we have power to be delivered out of the present course of things here, because of what Jesus has accomplished in giving himself for our sins. Think of him going into death, as I mentioned, the 3 hours of darkness, and saying at the end, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And think of him giving up his life after those 3 hours where he had endured the wrath of God upon the penalty of sin. Think of the intensity of the sufferings of Jesus at the hand of his God. And at the end of it, it is finished. What wonderful words to know that the work of redemption has been complete. And dying, and that soldier piercing his side, and the blood of Jesus being shed. You know, we have to speak of the blood of Jesus, the price of redemption. There's no other blood that would have done all those sacrifices in the Old Testament. They couldn't remove sin. They all spoke of the perfect, holy sacrifice of Jesus. But the blood of Jesus can remove our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. And so, as going into death and being buried and coming out of death again, raising the third day. God, raised by the glory of the Father, God is satisfied with the work that Jesus has done. And so he can be offered tonight as a saviour of sinners. He's my saviour. Is he your saviour? Do you know what it is to have your faith and trust in Jesus and his finished work? You know, it's no good just being an attendee. It's no good just accepting the word as being right. You have to confess the Lord Jesus, your own saviour. It says, with the heart is believed and the mouth is confession made unto salvation. I trust that everyone in this room has made that confession. I know most people here, but I don't know your hearts. God is the one who knows our hearts. It's the heart-knowing God. He knows if you've made that committal. But how lovely it will be to hear each one of us tonight confess Jesus as our own Saviour and as our Lord. And so it says that he should deliver us out of the present evil world according to the will of our God and Father. That's what God wants to do. He wants you to take out of the course of this world that's going on to judgment. He wants to bless you. He has a purpose for you. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to come to blessing. But he's given his son, and Jesus has given himself that he might do this. You know, John in his epistle tells us all that's in the world. It speaks of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All these three features, you might say these three principles, is what typifies the world around us today. But it's a world which is under judgment, and it's a world which is so corrupting, and God wants to take you out of it. He wanted to take Israel out of it. I said he wanted them to come to serve him. They were in bondage in Egypt, and he says, let my son go that he may serve me. Oh, we're under, as without Christ we have no hope. We're under the bondage and power and dominion of sin and Satan. But God wants to release you from that tonight, to have part in his place and to have part with him. And so I just read in Titus, you will have noticed also there it says, the great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all lawlessness. Think of that. And the grace of God, which carries with it salvation for all men, it's appeared and it teaches us. So this was a word to Christians. This was a word from Paul to Titus, that telling them that what he was to teach, that having desired impiety and worldly lust, how we should live soberly, justly, and piously in the present course of things, awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What are we waiting for? What are we looking for? What is before us? We're waiting for the appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Wonderful to be able to hear, to stand here tonight and tell you of the Lord Jesus is coming again to this world. The one that was rejected, the one that was cast out, away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. He's coming again in great power and glory. And he's coming here to reign in majesty and power. And you know, every eye is going to see him, every tongue is going to confess him, and every knee is going to bow to him, and owning Lord to God the Father's glory. Oh, my friend, that has been declared. That is going to happen. It's God's word. But God wants you to bow the knee tonight to Jesus, and only for yourself. And it teaches us, you know, this is the Christian life. This is how we are to be as believers, living here in this scene, which is under judgment, soberly. Justly, that means living rightly and piously in the present course of things. This is a challenge to my own heart, standing here tonight, speaking these words. How much has the gospel really affected our lives and our hearts? Do we live here for God? Do we live here for ourselves? Are we here in testimony that we're awaiting his son from the heavens? This is the objective here, and as I say, that he says that Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us again, it's a wonderful appeal to the affections. He gave himself for us. That someone should die for you. That give himself, get everything they had, that you might be blessed. Isn't it affecting? If someone did that today, literally, you would be so affected by it. And yet we can see here that Jesus Christ has given himself for us. He might redeem us from all lawlessness. And that he purified to himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. That means that as believers, we're to live our lives not in relation to ourselves, but in relation to God. and for his glory and for his pleasure. What a challenge that is to each of our hearts tonight. While you say it's good to have an objective, and that's true, but I read in Thessalonians to show where this actually happened. And that was as Paul and those with him went to Thessalonica. The effect of the gospel was, of him preaching the gospel to these Christians, was that they turned to God from idols. They didn't turn from idols to God, it says. They turned to God from idols. That means they had an object in view. They turned to God from idols. They've been serving false gods, idols. You say, well, we don't see much of that today. Well, I challenge as to whether we actually do see that today, but in a different form, where people have things before them which are not of God. God desires that you may turn from idols to himself. They turned from these things to the living God, and to serve a living and true God. This is the God we speak of. He's living. He's true. Yes, he's a creator God. We cannot literally see him, but his power is around us. God has declared himself in the creation. Think of the magnificence of the universe and the world and the earth and all that is in it. Is a testimony to the power of God. But the preaching of Paul was so effective in the souls of these idolaters that they were prepared to turn from these idols to serve God, to a living and true God. And it says to await his son from his heavens. That was the immediate effect, that they were expecting the Lord's return at any moment. Well, are we expecting the Lord to come back at any time? If the Lord were to come before the end of this preaching, how will we be? Will we be ready? What a challenge that is to my heart, to each of our hearts, as to how we're living and what we're living for. You know, the immediacy of the Lord's return grabbed hold of these believers in Thessalonica. They were waiting for him at any time. And then he goes on to say, who God raised from among the dead, Jesus our deliverer from the coming wrath. Well, how sobering that is, that we have to mention the fact of the coming wrath. Wrath has been declared, that it's been revealed. God's going to have to judge this world. He's going to judge it by the man whom he's raised amongst the dead, that's the Lord Jesus. And he's going to judge it in righteousness. And there's no one who's going to escape his judgment. The only ones who are safe from the judgment are those who are sheltering under the blood of Jesus. Think of that night in Israel, in Egypt rather, when the Passover night, some of us at home were reading that recently, the Passover, when the blood was put on the doorpost and the lintel by the householder. Think of that lamb that had lived in that household for 4 days and had to be slain. And its blood was taken and put on the doorpost and the lintel. And those that were sheltering under the blood were saved from the destroying angel. Well, that's a type to us of sheltering under the precious blood of Jesus. The only way and means of escaping the judgment that's coming upon this world. But the challenge to each of our hearts is, are we sheltering under that precious blood? Oh, the precious blood of Jesus, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, can you say, shed for me? How do you stand before God tonight, dear hearer? As I said, I don't know your heart. I don't know your soul or where you stand. But however old or however young you are, you can take the name of Jesus on your lips tonight and ask him to be your Saviour and to be your Lord. And know what it is to be delivered from this present world and to await his Son from the heavens. What a moment that will be when Jesus comes here to reign, you know. I often think of those ones who saw him ascending up into heaven. What a privilege that was for them. They saw Jesus going up into heaven. And they say he's coming up, will come again in like manner, coming with power and great glory, where he is going to reign on this earth. And all those that love him are going to come with him. Are you going to come with Jesus? Are you going to be one of the hosts of the redeemed? How many there will be who will come with him? We do not know the extent of the work of God. Think of him working today in the hearts and souls of men. Many precious souls being gathered in tonight. Will you be there? Or are you going to be those who reject his message of grace? Oh, do not put yourself outside the blessing of the gospel. You can have blessing tonight, no peace with God, peace of knowing your sins are forgiven, have joy in your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Think of that other great gift that's been given. Jesus went back into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who is our link between Jesus in heaven and ourselves here on earth. One who's spoken of as a comforter, the one who is with us and teaches us and tells us the things of God. What a gift it is. Do we know? I feel challenged as to how much I know of the gift of the Spirit. Well, may it be a reality and a portion with each one of us. And may we be blessed tonight in knowing Jesus as our deliverer from the coming wrath. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen.